Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, August 20th, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me.
What is this? Are you trying to trick me? Where's the sports?
Sonny, I think you've tuned into the wrong show. My. It's been 6 whole weeks since our last Q&A show. That's not good. Because, you know what? I have this huge backlog of very interesting questions from the sexually worrisome. And this time around, all my correspondents are men. Why, that almost never happens. I trust you will find my responses educational, enriching, and maybe even a little entertaining. And with a little luck, I'll even have just enough time to do a product review. Sounds fun? I think so, too. Okay, this week's podcast sponsor is brought to you by DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com.
When's the gig good?
Right after this message. That's right, sex fans. Our sponsor today is me. You'll have to excuse this shameless self-promotion, but I wanted to call your attention to a standing invitation for everyone in my audience to support and underwrite these marvelous shows. I'm exceptionally proud of the quality programming I've been bringing you, my international audience. Over the last 5 years, I've presented a variety of extraordinarily informative, enriching, and entertaining shows, interesting interviews, enlightening Q&A, and even some fun product reviews. I mean, where else can you find this sort of diverse, sex-positive programming? And all of this always comes to you absolutely free. Okay, so right about now, you're probably asking yourself, hey, Dr. Dick, how can I help support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. Just mosey on over to either one of my sites, DrDickSexToyReviews.com or DrDickSexAdvice.com, and look for the donate button. It's a blue heart-shaped icon. Click on it and make your contribution. Any amount will do. But those folks donating $50 or more will receive a swell thank you gift. Excellent personal lubes, smutty porn DVDs, wonderful sex toys, or some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening programming.
I don't believe this.
Before we turn our attention to our correspondence, I'd like to remind you about the toll-free lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or comment? Want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two? Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680. No need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts. And it's free. Okay, on with the show. First, let's mosey on over to the big, giant voicemail machine.
Yes, my name is Tyler. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I just have a question. I think I'm a straight male. I'm not sure. I love girls, but for some reason I have this urge for, to be stuffed in the ass or something. Like, I always have to use my fingers, and, I want to buy toys. But I don't know what's most to buy.
Well, Tyler, I'm going to go way out on a limb here and concur. I think you are a straight man, too. However, it's pretty clear from what you say that you're a straight guy who loves ass play. Lucky for you, gone are the days when our straight brothers had to hide their interest in their ass. Nowadays, every guy, regardless of his sexual orientation, can revel in his ass with confidence that most folks won't think less of him. The truth of the matter is, gay men have been proselytizing our less bent brethren about the joys of ass play, butt fucking, and prostate stimulation, well, just about forever. So I guess our efforts are finally paying off. Happily, the stigma of ass play being associated with being gay has pretty much gone the way of the dodo bird. We here at Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews .com have been promoting prostate health, prostate self-awareness for ages, and since every guy has a prostate, prostate pleasure can't possibly be exclusively gay, right? Okay, so I gather from what you're saying in your message that you already know the joys of fingering yourself. That's probably how every ass pirate gets started. Diddling yourself with one or two fingers is delightful. And just as long as you're clipping your fingernails before you diddle, there is little likelihood that you're going to run into problems. So let's move on to a more advanced tutorial on the care and feeding of your hole, shall we? The first thing you should know is that anal penetration of any type should never be painful. If it is, then something's wrong, plain and simple. However, lots of people are still uneducated about anal penetration, and because of that, they still have many misconceptions about how anal pleasure is supposed to go down. A lot of these folks, us men in particular, get our sex education from porn, and that's not a good thing, particularly where ass fucking is concerned. And because of that, sooner than you can say bumfuck, these folks will surely run into a heap of trouble where the sun don't shine. The reason for that is you rarely see the performers in porn take out a bottle of lube and apply it before penetration. And you almost never see the ass stretching exercises the bottom does to ready himself for the ass salt. Those scenes, if filmed, wind up on the cutting room floor. In porn, the performers get right to the penetration as if the bottom's ass got warmed up by magic. Butt fucking, sure enough, looks easy in the movies, but looks can be and are often very deceiving. First, you need patience. Then you need a lot of lube. And it wouldn't hurt if you knew something about your rectal anatomy, too. Anyone who tells you that you're supposed to work through the pain of anal penetration, or worse yet, numb it, should be arrested for endangering the well-being of your ass. Remember, a bad anal experience in the past will surely color the way that you approach anal pleasure in the future. Don't think you're going to go from anal sex novice to full-fledged power bottom with a cock or dildo overnight. You gotta be patient, learn to relax, and practice warming up your hole. Like I said, if it starts to hurt, stop. You don't have to stop altogether, but stop long enough to do some deep breathing, adjust your position, and add more lube. One way to prepare yourself for full penetration is by using sex toys. And for this, I recommend anal beads, a small vibrating dildo, or a modestly sized butt plug. Don't know butt plugs from a hole in your head? Check out my handy-dandy sex toy advisory titled The Wonderful World of Butt Plugs. Just type that into the search function in the header of my site, and presto! Again, you'll want to search for The Wonderful World of Butt Plugs. Now, anal masturbation with toys is a wonderful way to acquaint yourself with the joys of ass play, because you get to be in charge of how, when, and where. You get to play with at your own pace, and if you're paying attention, you'll get a whole bunch of information about what works and what don't for you and your back door. Your asshole has no self-lubrication system, therefore you need gobs of lube. If you're afraid of making a mess, you're simply not ready to be a butt pirate. For the anal retentive among us, let me suggest that you diddle yourself on an old sheet or towel, because if these get too funky for the laundry, you won't fret all that much about just dumping them in the trash when you're done. Now, relaxation is key. Deep breathing, the kind they teach pregnant women in Lamaze class, works great for this. And don't forget to warm up your hole with some Kegel exercises, too. A vibrating toy fluttering on your rosebud will further help relax your sphincter muscles. Try different positions on your back, on your knees, on your side, or even crouching. And most important of all, keep it playful. If it becomes more work than play, call the whole thing off. Now, if and when it comes to incorporating a partner, may I suggest that you check out two of my most popular tutorials. The first, Liberating the B.O.B., or Big Old Bottom, Within, a tutorial for a bottom. And the other, Finessing That Ass Fuck, a tutorial for the top. You'll find both of these in the archive on my site. Search for Tutorial for a Bottom or Tutorial for a Top. Finally, to your specific question about toys, well, darling, there are dozens and dozens of remarkably good anal and prostate-related sex toys on the market these days. The adult products industry is pulling out all the stops when it comes to pleasuring your poop shoot. I'd like to direct you to my product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. Once there, you'll have a couple of options on how to find precisely the toys you are looking for. Use the search function in the header and type in search words like anal, or prostate, or pegging. You can also look for the category pull-down menu in the sidebar. And once there, look for keywords like anal sex, butt plug, prostate, P-spot, pegging, and prostate massage. Good luck. Next, we hear from Paul. He's 34, and we don't know where he writes from, and his question is very short and to the point. Can men who have had polio masturbate? If so, how? Fantastic question, Paul. Thank you. The short answer is yes, men with polio can masturbate. The longer answer is, well, that depends on your stamina and your motor skills. If you are able to use your hands in an up and down motion, you're in luck. There are several cock sheaths, or strokers, as they are called in the industry, available in the marketplace. You can search DrDicksSexToyReviews.com using the keywords male masturbation and or male stimulators. You'll discover a wide range of such products. There is even one that will do all the work for you. Simply slip in your Johnson, click on some porn, and the real touch will do all the rest. Okay, so back to the strokers. You won't actually have to grasp your dick with your fist. The cock sheath will do that for you. However, you will need to secure the stroker to your hand. A Velcro strap might be just the ticket for that purpose. You're going to also need some lube. The kind of lube you'll need will be dependent on the material of your chosen stroker. If your sheath is made of silicone, use only water-based lube. For most other materials, a fine silicon-based lube is the lube of choice. Our product reviews will tell you what lube is best for each particular toy. Here's a tip. Stay tuned till the end of the show for a great product review that might work for you. Another option might be using a stroker on a bed under you, you being face down. Slip your lubed-up dick into the sheath and thrust your pelvis. I know this sounds pretty athletic, and it is, but since I don't know anything about you, I'm tossing it out anyway. Finally, you might just consider asking a bud for a hand. Literally. I'll bet there are at least a few people in your life that wouldn't mind helping out a friend in need. You could still purchase a stroker and some lube and have your friend use it on you. There is no shame in asking, right? Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Robert. He writes, for 12 years now, since 9/11, and especially for the last 4 or 5 years, my partner and I don't really have sex anymore. I do snore, and he does not like that. And there are dogs in his room, and I'm allergic to them. My partner has gone through some physical and sexual trauma, and I've been there for him and tried to understand. He also has some health challenges that make it hard for us to have sex. By the way, I'm 53 and he's 52. I asked him if he would mind if I just had no strings attached leather sex on the weekend. He responded, how would you feel if I had sex with somebody else? I told him it wouldn't bother me, that I would understand, and that I would still love him. And I meant that. Any advice? Gosh, Robert, where to begin? I have lots to say about the predicament you and your partner are experiencing, and none of the advice is of the short variety. That is, unless you don't count, you guys need to get to work with a professional about these problems, and you need to do it right away. I can offer you some advice on where you might look for the help that you need, and I can offer my services too. You guys need to work with a sex-positive therapist. However, finding the right therapist is often the most difficult part of beginning therapy. To that end, may I suggest that you check out the American College of Sexologists at americancollegeofsexologists.org. They have a directory page that lists their members' therapists by location. And since I don't know where you live, I can't offer any more suggestions. If you think you might want to work with me around these issues, you should first check out the therapy available page on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Look for that page tab in the header, and let me know if I can be of any further assistance. Good luck. Next, we hear from John. He writes, hello, Richard. I like erotic massage. I need that special touch once in a while. I am in a relationship, almost 10 years now, but my partner doesn't respond sexually as often as I would like. I have not been successful at pushing it. In fact, when I do push the issue, it ruins the atmosphere and the event just turns out to be a quickie with not much satisfaction. I don't think I'm asking for too much, but when I leave it up to him, we go for a long time without any sexual intimacy. Like we went for about a month before he finally gave me an opening. And of course, I went for it. Personally, I think we ought to be having sex at least once a week or so. I love my partner. He's a great guy, funny, loving, smart, caring, intelligent, etc. But he can be a bit frustrating at times, even about things other than sex. But my attitude is that this would be true of any relationship, and I've always felt that we were meant for each other. He does have a mental health issue for which he is on medication that can affect his sex drive. He is very faithful in taking his medication. One of his parents had a severe mental health issue and had a hard time staying on medications, so he is very afraid of trying to do without, which is probably very good. Do you have any suggestions on how we could rev up his engines? I remember you telling me last time I wrote that it was good that I sought out opportunities like erotic massage to discreetly satisfy my urges. I truly find sensual massage very satisfying. Can you suggest a way for me to connect with someone for regular intimate sessions to fill the gaps in my relationships? Thank you very much, John. Yours is a very familiar story, John. More couples than not are experiencing precisely what you describe. For some, this isn't a huge problem because the individual needing more sexual outlet simply goes out and gets what he or she needs. As you can probably guess, this arrangement works best when both individuals in the couple can agree upon the terms for these extracurricular activities. Now, I offer the same suggestions to every couple in a similar situation as you who seek my advice. And my advice is the same regardless of what is being negotiated. I want to go bowling. I want to eat sushi. I want to have sex. Now, the partner who wants or needs something offers his or her partner first right of refusal. If his or her partner doesn't pick up on the option to join in the activity, bowling, sushi, or sex, the one who wants or needs that thing is free to pursue his or her desires on his or her own. Now, finding a satisfying outlet, a good bowling alley, tasty sushi, or hot sex, is another issue altogether. Options are often limited by where one lives. Folks in cosmopolitan urban areas have more choices than those in rural areas. However, joining online groups like baitworld.com, for example, might provide you contacts with other like-minded men in your area. This might be very rewarding. And all it takes is the will and a little effort. Now, if you missed my interview with the proprietors of baitworld.com, look for podcasts number 338 and 339. Good luck. Next up is Stephen. He writes, "Can frequent masturbation cause decreased sensations along the shaft of the penis? I am finding that the skin sensation has faded away. The light sensual touch that was at one time so erotic that made my dick just swell and jump in excitement is gone. And it's been disappearing for several months now. What could be the cause of it if it wasn't masturbation? Thanks, Stephen." Frequent masturbation can indeed decrease sensations in the shaft of your unit, particularly if you are consistently using a dry hand. So, if you're not using a wet hand, lube or lotion or something like that, at least during some of your jerk-off sessions, I suggest that you start doing so as soon as possible. Lube will cut down on the friction between your hand and your dick. It will also add a silkiness to your session that a dry hand can't. You don't actually mention the frequency of your masturbation. You also don't mention your age, nor do you describe your masturbation technique. Do you have a light grip, a firm grip, a death grip? Get back to me with some more information and I'll have more to say. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick. What is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Now, here's a very interesting exchange I had recently with a fellow named Mike. He writes, "Hello, Dr. Dick. I'm writing to ask you about an issue that I've had after orgasm. It has happened on two separate occasions. The first was soon after orgasm. I felt like my whole body was in a tight muscle spasm, and I tensed up so completely that I couldn't move for what felt like 20 or 30 seconds. This happened again another time. However, the second time, the spasm happened long after the orgasm. Both times I was receiving oral sex from my partner, who was also massaging my prostate. I should also mention that I have high blood pressure and I'm taking meds for that. Is this something to worry about, or should I just chalk it up to a very intense sexual experience? Thank you, Mike. Hey, Mike. Thanks for your interesting question. You know that I'm a PhD kind of doctor and not an MD kind of doctor, right? Good, because I don't dispense medical advice, and I suggest that all medical questions be referred to a physician. That being said, I'm very curious about these muscle spasms you've been experiencing. Let me ask you a few questions. How old are you? Are you new to prostate massage? Could you describe the muscle spasms a bit more? If I understand you correctly, you say that your whole body is in spasm, correct? Did it affect your breathing, your heart rate? How long have you been taking the medications for high blood pressure? When was the last time you had a full physical? And are there any lingering after effects after the spasm? For example, are you lightheaded afterwards? If you have the time and inclination to respond, I'd be interested in hearing back from you. So Mike writes back and he says, I understand that you are not a medical doctor. I was just looking to see if you knew if this was a common thing or if it was just me. I'm 38 and I've been on meds for over a year now. The prostate massage thing is not new. I enjoy anal play. However, it's not always a massage. Sometimes it's a couple of fingers or a toy in and out. The spasms made my body tense up so much that I could not move except to curl into a fetal position. My whole body and face was in spasm. I remember my lips forming into a position. I don't know about my heart rate going up or any alteration in my breathing, but there was a little lightheadedness. I do have a full physical every year. I am a little overweight, but my weight is not a big issue for my doctor, so I work out, and I also work out a little here and there. The spasm is the weirdest thing, as it has only happened after receiving oral with some fingers in my anus. Never any other time. I thought it was just an intense orgasm at first, but when it happened the second time, a little after the orgasm, I thought that was strange. Any other questions, feel free to ask. Thanks for your advice, Mike. And I responded, thank you so much for the follow-up information. I can't honestly say that I have any clearer sense of what you were experiencing than when you first wrote to me. It is very curious what you report. If it were me, I don't think I'd worry all that much unless it repeats itself. And I'm happy to learn that you don't recall any change in heart rate, breathing problems, and only slight lightheadedness during or after the incidents. That's probably a good sign. I'm intensely interested in the prostate connection, however. Let me tell you why. Some while back, I had a client in his mid-50s. He had been dealing with an enlarged prostate for a few years, and suddenly a very dramatic thing began to happen. He reported that often, and mostly in the evening, when he would empty his bladder, he would experience the most intense sensations, not unlike an orgasm. He reported that the sensations would radiate all over his body from deep inside his pelvis. He would experience intense tingling in his hands and feet throughout the episode. He said the first time this happened, he actually swooned from the intensity, and it lasted till he finished pissing. I speculated that his enlarged prostate, coupled with a full bladder, might have been putting pressure on the nerves in his pelvis that register orgasmic pleasure. When this fellow took his concern to his doctor, the doctor wasn't the least bit interested. No surprise there, I suppose. I'm still in contact with this guy after all these years, and he tells me that the intense sensations continue on a regular basis. He tells me, even though he knows it will probably happen while he is standing to relieve himself, he is always surprised when it does. He told me that he now sits to pee in the evening so that he doesn't swoon with the sensations. He says he's learned to live with this and that he's grateful that the sensations aren't painful, although the intensity of the sensations, he reports, rides that fine line between pain and pleasure. Our bodies are amazing things, huh? So much of what we experience goes without explanation. Listen, Mike, I intend to use your question in Monday's podcast. Perhaps there are others in my audience that are or have experienced what you report, and maybe we'll have more about this in the future. Thanks again for sharing your story with me and my audience. Good luck. And Mike writes back, "Thank you for the replies and your time. I will have to listen to the podcast for sure. I will keep you informed of anything new. Thanks, Mike." Now, finally, a swell product review. This one is titled, "Go Ahead, Make My Day." In keeping with the all-male theme of today's Q&A, we bring you a review of a great toy for the menfolk. And in doing so, we welcome a new manufacturer to our review effort, the Perfect Fit Brand. You can find them at perfectfitbrand.com, don't you know? So let's check in with Dr. Dick Review crew members Glenn and Hank for the lowdown on the Fat Boy Cock Sheath they have, which is priced at $49.90. For more information on this product, visit drdicksextoyreviews.com and search for Fat Boy. Now, here's Glenn and Hank's review. Glenn begins by writing, "Damn, the fucking Fat Boy Cock Sheath is about the hottest fucking sex toy I've had the pleasure to use in just about fucking ever," Hank says. As you can see, Glenn is being his usual articulate self. How many times can you use fucking in a sentence? Glenn, "I'm simply being expressive in the best way I know how, so sue me, why don't you?" Hank, "Don't get me wrong, I'm totally with you. The Fat Boy Cock Sheath is, as you say, fucking amazing." Glenn, "Okay, here's the 411 on this product. The Fat Boy Cock Sheath is, well, for a lack of a better term, a sheath that fits snugly around your boner. It is made of this revolutionary material called silica skin. Apparently, it's a proprietary blend of silicon and TPR, which is thermoplastic rubber. It's unbelievably stretchy and irresistibly soft, and it comes in both black and clear." Hank, "We've tried other masturbation sleeves that are made of super squishy materials like this, and we've wound up tossing them in the trash after a couple of uses. While we love the softness and pliability, the trouble with most skin-like materials is that they are super porous and nearly impossible to clean. Of course, you have to clean it after every use, but you have to also powder it to keep it from getting tacky so that you can use it again. It's a fucking hassle, I tell you." Glenn, "I admit, when Dr. Dick offered us the Fat Boy Cock Sheath to review, I just rolled my eyes. I was expecting the same song and dance as what Frank just described. I was actually going to demurely decline Dr. Dick's invitation until I opened the plastic packaging. I did this because all the other skin-like materials we've tried smelled horrible. It's the disgusting off-gas that is the byproduct of the manufacturing process. And you know what? All the other skin-like materials are loaded with phthalates, which, if you've been paying attention to the reviews on this site, is a definite no-no when it comes to sex toys. Phthalates are the cancer-producing chemicals that are used to make rubber and latex super soft and pliable. Hank: yep, I'll pass on phthalates if you don't mind. Anyhow, where Glenn was going with all of this is when you open the Fat Boy cocksheath packaging, there is no discernible odor. There is no off-gas because it's phthalate-free. Once we got wind of this, no pun intended, we couldn't wait to get home and try this puppy out. Glenn: those of you who follow our reviews know that I am an insatiable bottom. Hank: that's an understatement, but please, go on. Glenn: everyone's a fucking critic. What I was about to say is that I generously allowed Hank to use the Fat Boy cocksheath first. I simply stripped down to my jockstrap and climbed into our brand new sling. Hank: isn't he generous? He allowed me the first use of the Fat Boy cocksheath. Truth is, he was going to get the better part of this toy, and he knew it. So, okay, I have a big dick, and I know how to use it. But slipping this sheath over my hog was fantastic. I dribbled some lube inside the sheath, then squished it around. And by the way, the inside of the sheath is ribbed and bubbled for my pleasure. We only used water-based lube to begin with because we thought the silicon-based lube would mar the silicon of the sheath. We learned later that we could have used whatever type of lube we wanted. Very cool. Glenn: I watched with anticipation as Hank readied his cock. I gotta tell you, the visuals were stunning. Oh, I should also point out that there's a smaller hole in the base of the Fat Boy cock sheath through which you put your balls, and the material is really stretchy, so don't worry about getting your boys through the hole. Hank: despite being as rock hard from the get-go, I started slipping and sliding this sheath over my dick, and it felt fantastic. I swear, I could have blown a load right then and there. Glenn: but he didn't, because it was time to punish my asshole, and I was ready for him. I am proud to say that I can take Hank's thick 9-incher with relative ease. It's taken years of practice, but I can do it. The Fat Boy cocksheath made his unit scary big, and the task all that much more daunting. But here's the thing: the super soft and stretchy silica skin added to my pleasure, but didn't chafe my hole like some of the bigger toys we use. Hank: speaking of pleasure, I was loving both what was happening to my cock and what I could see what was happening to Glenn's hole. What a sight! My cock, encased in the Fat Boy cocksheath, slid in and out of Glenn's lubed-up hole with ease. I was sending him to paradise, and I knew it. The squishy sound my dick made inside the sheath added to our piggy play. Glenn: I knew Hank was close to busting his nut, so I held on for dear life. With one last thrust, he was spent. But I was still ready to go. Hank: a little quick thinking on my part brought Glenn to an explosive finish, too. I simply slipped my softening dick from the Fat Boy cocksheath and replaced it with one of our beautiful glass dildos. Glenn loves the hardness of the glass, but it never seems to fill him up. But now the sheath did just that. Glenn: it was fantastic. I was yanking on my chub while Hank had the whole of my nuts and rammed the dildo home. I spewed so much spunk I thought it was time to notify the next of kin. Hank: when the fucks fest was over, cleanup was a snap. My nut was still in the tip of the Fat Boy cocksheath along with the mess of lube, but some warm water and mild soap took care of the whole thing. Cleaning it is easy because the silica skin material is non-porous and so stretchy you can actually turn the blasted thing inside out. And once thoroughly dry, the sheath isn't the least bit tacky. This product gets my highest rating. Glenn: if the Fat Boy cocksheath doesn't get the award for Best Male Toy of the Year in this year's review roundup, the Dr. Dick review crew will have to answer to me. The sheath is versatile, easy to use, a load of fun, makes even the average hung guy a monster, and it's made of a healthy, long-lasting material that is sure to please. And it's easy to clean. Perfect! Kudos to the guys at Perfect Fit Brand. You have a winner on your hands. Enjoy. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Here's a programming note. Everyone here at DrDickSexAdvice.com is going to take a little break for a late summer holiday. We'll be back on September 5th with the fantastic Sex Wisdom Show and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
You keep using the word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Are you referring to the word dick? Because I'm pretty sure I know what that word means. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick Sex Advice and DrDickSexToyReviews.com. Simply put, I need your help to continue to provide shows like the one you just heard. But you may be asking yourself, hey, why should I make a donation? Well, I'll tell you. Infrastructure and administrative costs for a free site like this are astronomical. So if you like what you see and hear, if you enjoy all the wonderful features of DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. I suggest a donation of between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gladly accepted. This is a one-time donation. There are no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees, and you can be certain that every dime you donate will go to supporting this valuable sex-positive effort. Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages throughout the entire world. I thank you in advance for your generosity. And until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Well, that's even better. Over and out.